Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
I've always said that reading the daily readings is so important. If every single Catholic, whether you're practicing or not, there's billions of us out there, if we all read the daily readings, contemplated what God was saying in our own individual lives, the world would be a different place. And God is telling us stuff this week before Christmas. Are you reading the daily readings? Are you contemplating what God is telling you? So yesterday, I was kind of not going to go there because I was hung up on what Elizabeth said, which was, and I quote, "So has the Lord done for me at a time when he has seen fit to take away my disgrace before others." And I thought, wow, those are powerful words. Take away my disgrace before others. And then we talked about being patient about your sins and all that kind of stuff. But the real deal is this. I mean, God, again, in the first reading, going back to the Old Testament, is talking about Samson. Samson was given to God. His mother was barren, and an angel of God told her that she will conceive a child and do not take a razor to his head, and that she should not drink or eat nothing unclean. And boom, the boy grew up and the Lord blessed him. The Spirit of the Lord stirred him. And then, of course, you've got Zechariah and Elizabeth and, of course, Saint John the Baptist conceived in the womb, who's going to leap for joy when Jesus comes and sees him. And that was Tuesday. And so today we have the same kind of thing. We've got Isaiah, the Old Testament, basically shouting out, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign." Okay, first let's go back, because this is a very, very, very short reading, but it's kind of important. Isaiah 7, 10 through 14. "The Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the nether world, or high as the sky.' But Ahaz answered, 'I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord.' Then Isaiah said, 'Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary men? Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel.'" Boom. That is another foreshadowing. It's a typology. That would be the ground. Typology. It's a reflection of what is to come. And Jesus is going to be this son, and Mary is going to be that virgin. And they will name him Jesus. And Emmanuel, by the way, means God is with us. And then, of course, we go into Luke, which is, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth." And he ends up doing the whole coming to Mary, you know, saying, "Hey, here you go, girl." "How? I have had no relations with a man, virgin." And then the Holy Spirit will come upon her, supernatural, Son of God, Mother of God. There you go. And we should be thinking about that. the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. If you have any of your little Protestant friends out there questioning whether Mary was a virgin or not, point them to this passage. What is this passage? I'm going to tell you in a second. Hold on. It is Luke 1, 26 through 38. The Holy Spirit overshadows her. And she will conceive a son. She will name him Emmanuel. Oh my gosh, sorry about that, everyone. Ooh, that was crazy. Name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Of course, Jesus is actually what they will call him. And the Son of Salvation will be born. And I truly believe there's a reason that he's a baby. And I truly believe that is because all of those evil tribes out there and evil practices and worships to altering gods offer up babies for worship. I truly believe that abortion is one of those sacrifices. If you think of how many millions of babies just in the United States have been aborted, tell me that is not child sacrifice. It is to their God. And then they're ripping up the baby parts and they're selling them for a profit. It is about profit. If you ever follow Abby Johnson, who you can find anywhere, go on Facebook, go on Twitter. I've got her on Facebook, but she has been a person who came from Planned Parenthood. She was a director. She spills the beans. And that is why she is so converted, because she saw for the first time an actual abortion being done with an ultrasound. And she saw the baby moving away from the suction thing that was breaking off its arms and legs. And she said she felt sick to her stomach. She was not informed that this is how the baby can feel. B, the baby is fully formed. C, that it is such an abusive process and most doctors don't use an ultrasound. And D, she's seen them. She's seen the baby parts and they have to put the baby back together to make sure that they got everything out of there. And then they sell the tissues and all of that. And they get more money the older the baby is. This is why you hear absurdities such as babies being killed after birth. Up to, I think it was 2 years that I saw out in California. Insane. That is, it's all murder. But how could you not say, you know, the argument of being in the womb is gone. You know, like this is a living, breathing, walking person who cannot take care of itself. That's the one difference. But come on, deserves to live from the moment of conception. But I digress. Okay, I kind of didn't mean to go off on that whole abortion thing. But this is exactly why Jesus came as a baby. This is what me contemplating Jesus as a baby, this is how it helped me understand life and life before you're even a human being outside of another human being, how distinct your life is, and how you look at all of the people in this world who had the fortunate blessing of being born because their mother decided to give birth to them, whether they gave them up or raise them or crappily raise them. I mean, you know, we all have our stories, right? Nobody's been raised in a perfect situation. All that being said, we're here. We are not mistakes. We are chosen by God. He knitted us in the womb of our mothers before we were even born. And thank God we were born. Think about that. This is why I think there is a really good quote by, I thought it was Ronald Reagan, who said, I notice most people who are for abortion have already been born, kind of thing, you know? And that's where I started thinking, okay, wait, there is a purpose for Jesus to come as a baby. There is a purpose, a purpose, a purpose, a purpose. Jesus doesn't do anything without a reason. God the Father brought Jesus down as a baby on purpose. Because if abortion happened, Jesus the Savior would not be born. If Mary didn't say yes to give her life to her son, Jesus Christ, he would have never been born. The Savior of the world would not have been born to fulfill his destiny. Sure, you could argue there would be a Mary too out there somewhere, and she would, but how, you know, again. Mary said yes, and God knew that she would say yes. I'm sure he had a plan B if she didn't, but in the end, she did. And so did we. By our faith, we have said yes to God. By the fact that you're listening to something that helps you get closer to God, this podcast, another podcast, maybe it's a spiritual director. Maybe it's a beautiful spiritual book. Maybe it is just time in silence with the Lord. One of the people in my soul, mind, and body group made a comment or put a comment out on a YouTube video and said, hey, I'm going to add a holy hour. Now, I already have an hour and a half of prayer in the morning, and then I record my podcast, and then I typically do a couple videos. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a holy hour. And it was about 2:45 when my brother texted me, and he said, okay, we're going down to the GI doctors to get the tube inserted in my dad so that he could be fed. And I was like, oh my gosh, the timing is perfect. So I kept texting, is he there yet? Is he there yet? Is he there yet? It was about 2:58, and they said they just took him in. And I said, here I go. And I explained to my brother, who's a little bit more Buddhist, doesn't, I'm not sure believes in God. I have to have that discussion with him again at the end of all this stuff, because there have been seeds dropped everywhere. I told him, oh my gosh, it's the 3 o'clock hour. This is when Jesus died. This is when his mercy is the most prevalent, because he died and his precious blood becomes, you know, our protection and our saving. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I explained that this is a prayer that people say at people's deathbeds all the time, that there's power in it. And that I went to confession on Divine Mercy Sunday. And I just said, I'm going to be offline for about an hour. And 7 minutes before four, by the way, I started reading again, St. Faustina's diary, which is where all this Divine Mercy Sunday stuff started. So I prayed at the Divine Mercy Chaplet with, on YouTube live with the guys, MIC in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. And it was beautiful. I mean, awesome. And then after that, I grabbed my St. Faustina diary and I started reading that. And that's where this whole Divine Mercy came from. It was awesome. 7 minutes before four, I had to go to the bathroom really, really bad. So I got up and then I quickly checked my phone and my dad had the tube in, because I was just praying, you know, because they had to put him under. He kept getting it stuck. So it would go up his nose, down his throat, and then it would get stuck between his esophagus and his stomach, and all the sounds and the stuff that he would make, gagging and I mean, I said basically to everyone after I tried it four times with me, I said, I cannot do this anymore. Somebody else has to be here when this goes down, because I can't do it. I can't take it. Anyway, yay, the tube is down, because he was supposed to be fed last Thursday. Think about it, people. He is so thin already. He's not moving any muscles. He's under so many meds. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, he gets it in at 3:30, but doesn't actually get fed until Thursday morning. So you're talking, Tuesday morning. Why do I have 7 days? Did that actually work? That counted out that way. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 6 days. Yeah, horrible. All right, anyway, praising God, thanking God, hoping that this nutrition that is getting into him slowly but surely will help him on this fight. But back to Mary. It's all about us really thinking about her giving her entire life to God. I don't even want to stop drinking wine. I mean, let's think about it, people. What don't you want to stop doing in your life, right? Are you a little gluttonous? Are you lazy? Do you choose your will over his throughout the day? How about your prayer life? Do you give him your time? Do you thank and praise him all day, every day? Do you live in the present moment? Do you fight the spiritual battle? Or do you kind of insult him, be prideful, take your day into your own hands and don't pray, don't live in the present moment? Don't give yourself to God like Mary. I don't know. Let's think about Mary. I have a feeling that it's going to be a lot about their journey, and that's how it should be. Just think about what God wants us to think about today. She gave her yes, her fiat. She said, I don't know how this is going to work. Just like we don't know how God's going to change this addiction or this feeling that we have toward this person, or how they're going to mend this relationship or repair this marriage or fix this broken heart, or how God is going to help us not be angry or anxious or worry or live in this present moment. Or will he ever give me the patience and the mind to quiet down and to pray and to learn how to discern his voice versus mine versus Satan so that I can fight this fight every day? And where it becomes easier and easier. I mean, this is how it all works, everyone. So let's meditate on Mary. Mary, Mary, Mary. That's one of the chapters in my book. But it's really supposed to be Mary, Mary, Mary. Like Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. I don't understand why this church loves and venerates Mary so much. That was back then. You want to know why? Because she gave everything to God. Everything. Her will didn't even exist. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was God. When we say we want to be Christ-like, she was filled with Christ's Spirit and the Holy Spirit. Her beloved spouse, who overshadowed her, conceived God within her body. You think, oh, well, that's, you know, she was just able to do that because God showered so much grace on her. Well, you know what? He can shower so much grace on us too. By the way, we're going to talk about grace and blessings. What's the difference? Sanctifying grace, actual grace, and blessings. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. But today, God, through his readings, says, hey, I want you to think about Mary and how she gave up her life. And what in your life are you holding on to that is a truly disordered relationship that you've got going on with anger, with resentment, with other people, with money, with entertainment, with, you know, social media? What is disordered with a substance? And do you have a prayer life? Remember, you got to go through the soul, the mind, and the body. And y'all ought to get on my YouTube channel. Just go Kendra Von Esch. That's the name of my channel. And you can just, when you go into YouTube, just put at Kendra Von Esch, or just type in Kendra Von Esch. It'll come up. And all you need to do is subscribe and then hit the all button, because we're really going to talk about New Year's resolutions. Yes, we've got Christmas. I'm not jumping too far too fast. We're going to take every day as it comes up until Christmas. But then after that, I want everyone to think about a couple of things that we're going to do. Number one, we're going to look at something we work on for the month. We always have a monthly challenge. Every month we should try some sort of change in our life. And then January is a New Year's resolution. That's something that isn't just a month. That's something that's, I really want this change in my life. And I'm ready to give it a go and give it a whirl on New Year's Eve and put, you know, sort of an event behind it. And we're going to talk about how do you pray through that? How do you figure out what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. Let's pray. Excuse me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, Heavenly Father, we know that you chose Mary, that you gave her grace that surpasses all of our understanding. We ask for sanctifying grace. It's a gift from you. We can't earn it. It's nothing that we do. So we pray for it. We are not shy to pray big to you, Lord, because we know how much you love us and how much we know that you can bring miracles into our life. We want your wisdom so that when we make our own decisions, they're through your lens of your heart, of your purity, of your will. So please, we pray with confidence, as you say in the book of James, chapter 1, come to you with confidence, asking for your wisdom, and you will not begrudgingly withhold it. You will generously give it if we are confident. So we pray confidently to you right now. Please give us your wisdom. Change our hearts. We give you permission. Holy Spirit, sanctify us. Pour out your sanctifying grace in our hearts so that we again can do God's will and not ours. We offer ourselves to you today. We, like Mary, are the handmaid of the Lord and handman of the Lord, whatever the male version is, Lord. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our guardian angel, please guide us, lead us, and protect us. Excuse me, should have paused there, but I didn't. Because I'm wrapping up. This is a long one. I love you. Find something more with God today. Think about Mary. Wow. Ask for her help, the mediatrix of grace, the one who sits at the right hand of Jesus, who can take everything to him. Pray to her for your deepest desires, the biggest changes in your life. Even when I told her, Mary, maybe you could take my marijuana addiction, she turned around and took it anyway, even though I took it back. She took it to her son, and he healed me. It can happen to you too. All righty, have a blessed and inspired day.